Okay, so some people have been interested in the number E. Yeah, it's an interesting number, and yeah, it has a very interesting value, 2.71828182845904 5 blah blah blah. Okay, so in this discussion, what we're going to be is discussing that number. You might have noticed it's got a lot of eights in there for some reason. So we're going to work out why that might be, and look at the number from a more infinite perspective and see what we can reveal. So just to begin with, we talked about the square root of 2 and things like that, haven't we yet? So when we've talked about those things, they've been very important because they've been stuff that have defined the diagonal of the rotational function, whereas whether the solution to pi comes out of the rotation and the maintaining of the infinity of 1. If you follow the diagonal line, there would be a squishing of infinity, and you couldn't have that, right? So, as we said, the number E then becomes triangle numbers, from association of the line divided, in a sense, in the reciprocal space. So we've come up with the concept of E. As a sort of combination of all the reciprocal factors of the reciprocals, which means all the triangle numbers, yeah? It means summing them all up together. We did a little thing just explaining a little bit about triangle numbers in the last one. So just carrying on from that, now we've got the number E. So what is the number E? Well, let's start from the start, which is basically, if you think about the square root of 2, we remember we could add or minus 1, and we have this thing called the silver ratio. You can look up that. But what about if you just plus or minus half of the square root of 0.5, yeah? 0.5 is a bit of a square root of 0.5 is a bit of a weird number. It's actually 7071067878. I like that. 678. 118654. There's a countdown after the 8. Oh, well, and so on and so on. But anyway, what we can see is, the way I'm seeing numbers anyway is that actually they both start, if you add 2 plus the square root of 0.5, you get it starts with 2. So we're in the running right ballpark. E also starts with 2. Second number here, 7, that's in here. But here, suddenly, we have a difference. Oh, look, it's in the square root of 2 version here, the square root of 2 plus the square root of 0.5. In the third position, the third number, is changed from a 0 to a 1 in the one above. And that continues there because there's a 7. Oh, look, there's an 8 above there. Oh, look, 2 compared to 1. It's 1 greater. And then suddenly we hit the 0 point in the square root of 0.25 plus 2. Sorry, 0.5 plus 2. Just before it goes 6, 7, 8 and counts up. And so what you can see there is that what we call that is that we've got that flipping of the 9. And the 8 disappears in base 10, and what we see is it's appeared there in the number E instead, right? Yeah. So what we're seeing here is a conflux of some description, some sort of base 10 trickery that's trying to fool us into something. But more importantly, once we decode some of this stuff, we'll actually be able to understand what the number is kind of doing, it's actually quite logical once you get down to the basis of it. So what we can do is we can start to subtract. Let's subtract the two numbers and see what number we have left. And then what we find is we've got, if we subtract E, sorry, let's do it the other way around, E, and then we're going to minus 2 plus the square root of 0.5, and we're going to minus that figure from that E, and then we're going to have a remainder, what's left, yeah? And that is the difference between the two. And so we get the number 0.0, then we get 11175. And that's an interesting one. We're going to talk about that. Then there's the zero. We zero out, yeah? And once we zero out, then what we get is a 4. We get a 7279, 7 squared, 77. Oh, my God, this is 11s, yeah? And so on. But what we're going to try and focus on here is just the start of this infinite diversion from the actual number to the root 2, what's actually happening. That's what we're going to focus on. So when we use infinite mathematics, when we see a triple-digit number, it's quite nice to take it and multiply it by 9. If we times 111, divided by 999, so, you know, if you think about what we're actually looking for is 999. So 999, if we take 1, divided by 111, it actually resolves to 9. And that would be the, you could say, the perfect ending to infinity. It resolved to 9. But unfortunately, it wasn't quite like that, because it did, and that was the first step, wasn't it? Now, if you remember what was happening, we were dividing lines. Yeah, the first couple of steps, like the dividing into 1, that's fine. Oh, look, but when we step into dividing into 2, there's going to be a slight expansion in the infinite. In the infinite, right? So, like as the triangle expands, if you like, yeah? And so, at the moment, that's going to be very small, but obviously it will turn into a large expansion once we think of it like the difference between a sort of a triangle, shall we say, which is what we associate with E, and the difference between that and a square, you know, the spatial ratio, yeah, will change. And so, what will happen is we're at this infinite tip of this, triangle, we're seeing, oh look, there's a slight divergence there, but it's only 111, which is just a, which actually resolves to 9, yeah? So, actually, not so far off if we found the reciprocal, yeah? As we move down, we find the number 75, yeah? And so what we can do with the number 75, once again, we divide that by 99. And what opens up there is we start to resolve it into the number 132. That's right, 75 can resolve into that in 999s. And so what that really represents is 1 1/3 with a bit broken off, if you think of it like that. Yeah. And another way of seeing the 75 is like 4/3. Yeah. 3/4, sorry. Yeah. And that would be like the reciprocal of 25. Yeah. And so we're seeing a slight break off there, right? And then when, as we move in, what we can do is we can reduce that number. Yeah. Now with the 4, we can see that there's a 4 there. So we can actually push that across, because we've got, if we wanted to make that, it's a little bit complicated in infinite maths, but if we want to make that 4 disappear, because we've got a 0 there, we can do that, yeah? And that means we can make the 2 disappear as well, yeah? Because we can shuffle it all along, yeah? If you imagine we've gone from a 75 2 digit to 132, so we can change it to 1 and 3. So now we get 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 3, and then the 2 will zero out, the 4 will come down, yeah, to a 2, and that zero there takes care of that, yeah? So now we're left with, like, the numbers 272727. So that's nice. Everything's worked itself out. And prior to that, we've got 00111 7, yeah? 27272. Brilliant. So it's a six... We've got the six-digit code. That's what we need, isn't it, yeah? So six-digit codes are quite handy, because once we get to a six-digit like that, we can use the 999 process. And we know that actually, because the infinity of 7, as it were, is, and base 10 is the only one that can produce a six-digit number code, so we're covered on that base, if you like, you know, in the nature of 7s, if you like. So that's really cool. This has got 7s built into it, so we might be able to understand why afterwards there's a square of 7 at 49, you see what I mean? As we've moved through the expansion of number space, we've hit square numbers now, so obviously that starts to add additional sort of density, if you like, in the number line itself. So we find that, for example, let's say, for example, the number 5, and then it's the number 25, and the only reason the number 25 isn't a prime is because of the number 5. Otherwise, it would be a prime, yeah? But obviously, that's only if you can divide that number in, and that's a base 10 thing, really, in a sense, yeah? In base infinity, there's no such things as primes. Sounds a bit strange, I know, yeah, but that's just the way it is. Now, moving on, so what we can do next is we can take this, do the 999 on it, and we get the number 1375, 1375. Oh, look, it's 13 again. You see how we've got that to that 13 with the 75. And so actually what happens is there's a conflux. When we look at the nature of base 10 from the perspective of infinity, when you start to take the 1375, 1375, and you start to, you know, divide that by the 999s, it turns back into 727272. So we create a kind of loop. And we understand that it's basically founded on the concept of what we say is a 3 intermingling with a 7 somehow, yeah? And that will come as we've gone from the division of a line into the prime number 3, prime number 5, you see what I'm saying, prime number 7. All of these numbers will then start to add that little bit extra onto the E function. And that means that we're going to now diverge. And so what we can sort of start to see is that it's actually the addition of prime number and maybe maybe possibly square numbers, but definitely prime numbers in the sevens and things like that, that are starting to create this divergence at a very early stage. And so as you go down into smaller and smaller infinities, you'll get a more and more complex wave pattern, which disturbs the true nature of number E. So what we can say is that E is the square, is 2 plus the square root of 5 with a wave function disturbance of primes. That's how we would describe the number E. So it's 2 plus the square root of 0.5 with a wave function disturbance of, looks like number 7, coming out of the number 7 function, and looks out coming out of a third. Yeah. And if you looked into the, what we talked about previously, you will see that we saw the sevens in action with the previous examination of the triangular numbers, so we know that the sevens coming in there from the triangles, and we know that also the number 3 from our solution for pi, the 25 1 over 3 plus, you know, third, but that's also moved down into the third position, which is what we see here as well, you know, after the 111. So basically what we're seeing here is actually how that infinity is distorting. And so that's why this E has a particular particular number, and why we see the number eights are coming in as they're turning from sevens to eights as that infinity is expanding. You can see what's happening. So we have a divergent function, and it's quite nice to see it how E is working underneath all of that, and just to give you an idea about how our base systems do distort things. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It just means that we have to be able to also cover that distortion in order to make sense of what's going on. Okay, so I hope that makes a little bit more sense, and that's the number E, and obviously it plays a role in the pi function. So is E a transcendental number? Well, is 2 a transcendental number? Well, from infinite mathematics, actually all of these numbers are, you could say, transcendental or infinite, so there's no real numbers. There's only the real numbers that come from devolving the numbers, yeah, and the functions that come out of the geometrics, yeah, and this is a different class of number we're talking about. This is the class of number that views the number construct from above. You know, it looks at the construct of numbers and the infinite itself, and so we cannot class those as numbers. And so, in a sense, I would say that E square root of 2. Pi and all of those things are representative of infinite densities moving through space, geometric space, and those infinite densities need to remain in certain ratios, and that's why those shapes form. That's very different from the concept. Then we have the cardinals and the ordinals, when we talk about reals, the real numbers are the ones that, you know, once we put into an infinite state, we talk about the infinite mathematics. Infinite state means we, you know, divide by one plus one, divide by one plus one. That's the infinite state. And when we put the numbers into the infinite state, one by one, they reveal a true number, and that true number can be moved along as a number line. So actually, the number we thought we were starting with was actually just a kind of fake number, yeah. But actually, underneath that, there's the real number, yeah, which is the dissolved number. And so that's why in infinite mathematics, you can't work with numbers in the same kind of way that you can, like algebra. It doesn't work. Algebra doesn't work for infinite mathematics. But what we can do is try and make a translation, a bridge, as it were. So I'm doing some of the mathematics there on the E to make that bridge. If some of it sounds a little bit complicated, you just got to, I would suggest, start to wrap your head around, and you can do some of our exercises based on, you know, you take 6 9s and you just divide them by, you know, the different types of numbers that we can find. And then you'll start to unravel and start to understand how base 10 is affecting our number calculations, if you want to get into that side. Alternatively, you could just draw it, because it's all quite simple really once you draw it, and how it will look from the perspective of a drawing will be probably something like the flower of life. We call it the seed of life, probably more accurate. And there'll be a slight bulge within the triangle. There'll be a slight bulge which will represent the growth of numbers. There'll be a bulge at the edge, and that will be, as far as infinite density goes, that will be the excess point where infinity is growing along that lumbar line due to the density factor of 0.5 as it expands through infinite space. So yeah, so that's just a little bit on the number E. Any more questions on the number E? We can have a little look into some of that. There is some fractional solutions that are quite interesting that we have that also show that actually the number E doesn't go on forever. It can actually break in the reality code, shall we say, yeah. And that's because we can work with whole fractions to a certain degree, and you can express it E as a whole fraction, but at some point the whole fraction can't be expressed anymore. It just disintegrates into a decimal, and once that happens, that's the end of that whole fraction number line. So there is a little bit of quirky little business happening later on in the number of E due to that nature, and we can let you investigate that if you want to look into the number E and the way it's formed through whole fractions. Anyway, that's that for this week. Just to let you know, thank you very much for tuning in and listening to some of the interesting information we have in fourth dimensional mathematics. My name's Colin Power, and this has been an Into Infinity broadcast, broadcasting solutions to, from the fourth dimensional perspective of mathematics involving pi, E, and the nature of infinite space.